doesn't have any volcanoes. And he comes home to me and he's, "Oh, Mom, Arizona doesn't have any volcanoes." I says, "Bob, they do have volcanoes." You know, "Well, no, my teacher said so." And I said, "I don't care what your teacher said." I says, "You look around." I says, "Every one of these hills that look like pyramids," I says, "every one of those are actual volcanoes. You know, they may not be active, but that doesn't mean that they can't be."
Exactly. And if you consider what we're doing to the earth, we take the oil out of the earth, and then we pump it full of toxic nuclear waste and all of this sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, that stuff's just cooking away down in there. It's stuff that used to be, it was hot before radioactive-wise, but it was stable. And then we went and messed with it, made this, you know, atomic waste, this nuclear waste, and we go and pump all of that junk back in the earth. We take the blood out, you know, we take out the oil, we take out the water and stuff, and we pump all of this garbage back in. If you want to get an idea as to what's going to happen in the world, you get one of these stupid scientists and politicians that allow this to happen, and you take a couple of pints of their blood out, and you pump their body back full of a couple of pints of toxic nuclear waste, and when they start convulsing all over the floor and dying, well, understand that the human body is a microcosmic world.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep doing that to the earth. Eventually there's going to be this big, big convulsion, and we're all going to feel it. Has it happened before? We know of four times before that the world has been destroyed as humans knew it.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Jewish Bible, you know, in the beginning, you know, it talks about that there was this place, this world that was formless and void, is the way most people translate it. But if you look at it in Hebrew, it's, you know, the actual phrase is tohu vabahu. And it means was once again formless and made void.
Oh, once again.
Once again. It's happened before. And how would someone know that it had happened before? They survived.
Yeah.
Humans are pretty resilient, you know. We keep coming back and destroying the world again.
You would think, you know, I try so hard to understand why why we have to destroy the earth. It's like we could learn from our past, but there's a sector out there, an elite sector of sorts, that they won't give us the information, so we live in ignorance.
Well, you know,
and have no idea what we're doing based on what, because we don't know our past, you know? And you know yourself that in order to know your future, you have to know your past, and they've totally erased all information on our past, such as where we came from, how the earth has died and come back, and you know the catastrophes that's happened. They will not tell us about that beautiful race of giants that used to be here before.
Would you like to be able to recover your past?
Oh yes.
Well, there's a real simple way to do it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can go through a little educational process for your hands, basically.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll start like about once a day for about a month, just press your thumb and your index, middle, and ring fingers into the center of the other hand, one after the other, and do it with both hands, and that will kind of activate the energy that flows through your hands.
Mm-hmm.
That, and, you know, someone does energy work stuff already, like Reiki or whatever, then they're way ahead. But, you know, anybody can do this. Just go through that little process.
And how is that again? One more time.
You press your thumb, let's say the thumb from your right hand into the middle of the palm of the left hand, forcefully to where it kind of dents into it, back
mm-hmm.
out. It'd be the same with the index finger, the middle finger, and the ring finger. And then do the same thing with the fingers from the left hand to the right palm. And this kind of gets the energy flowing and stuff. And then there are other exercises that are real good to get into as well. You can go and I hate cigarettes, okay?
Uh-huh.
I hate anything. You know, tobacco is our most sacred herb. And when they take it and promote people using it in a casual way that harms them instead of blesses them, I just hate that.
Yeah.
But one of the things that you can get from a pack of cigarettes is you go and get you some Marlboro. You know, they have the, they'll have like a green or a red or a blue and white package. You know, one color and white. And they got that nice slick cellophane over. Now, don't smoke it, you know, as a casual thing. If you want to smoke it for prayer, you want to give it to the earth for prayer, that's great. But what you do with the package is you just kind of slide the fingers, and what you're talking about is just the back of the pads of the index and middle and ring fingers over that cellophane, and do it nice and slow. And you can just put it in your pocket and carry it around and check from time to time. You'll be able to feel pretty quickly the difference in the energy between the colored part and the white part. And you'll be able to pull it out, and you'll say, okay, this is the piece of the part that I'm holding now, and you pull it out, and sure enough, after a while, that's what it's going to be. You're going to get where you do it all the time. Then get you a good thick pillowcase or a couple of pillowcases or something. You don't want to be able to see through it. And preferably something like cotton or linen, some natural fabric or flannel. And get you some construction paper of the primary colors and cut you out some pieces that are about an inch square out of a corner, and then put those inside the pillowcase. And we take the larger pieces of paper and just feel them again with the backs of the pads and fingers until you can tell the difference in the energy. And then you reach into your bag and you kind of reach around and you feel of stuff until you find a certain color, and you say, okay, this is so-and-so color, and you pull it out, and eventually you'll get to where very consistently you're pulling out the color that you're after.
Really?
That you're getting sensitive to it. And then you can take a little bit of a different approach and go for different types of energies. So go to a used bookstore. You know, buy a book of Larson cartoons or something like that that just caused people to laugh like mad, or Calvin and Hobbes or whatever. And one that's obviously been read a lot. And, you know, someone's really gotten a lot of enjoyment out of this. They've been back to it over and over again. And it's got a lot of really good energy in it. And you take it out and you wrap it up in, you know, a white cloth or something, and you stick it someplace in your car, like on the dashboard in the light or something. Go back into that bookstore and look around and find you something really ugly and negative, like the Satanic Bible. And, or my frame of reference, anything that was Baptist or something, you know, it's like, go find something really negative. And, there are a lot of books out there from the fundamentalist religions and stuff that talk about the destruction of virtually everyone else. It's different from them. So it doesn't matter if, you know, what it is, just some fundamentalist religion, Satanism, some form of fundamentalist Christianity, some form of fundamentalism, or the Muslim religion, or anything out there that is putting down other people. And you get you a copy of that book, you know, the teachings of the Ku Klux Klan, whatever. And you take that book out, make sure it's one that's been read a lot, maybe underlined in and all this sort of thing. You know, someone's put a lot of energy into it. And you take it out, you wrap it up in a black cloth or something, you put it in the trunk of your car. Go home, put the dark one in some dark, musty place and leave it there for about 30 days. And take the other one and put it in a window, you know, where the light's on it all the time, and leave it for about those 30 days. And while you're doing that, you're doing these other exercises. And then you go and you take, just a piece of paper out of the book, you know, cut you off a quarter of the page or something, or a piece of the cover of the book or something, and you put it in your bag. And very quickly, I mean, very easily, you'll be able to reach in and tell whether you've got the piece that's from the negative book or the piece that's from the positive book. And this sensitizes you to where you can go and you can do what we're going to talk about now, which there's a mountain, it's actually a pyramid, basically, that was in Siberia that just before the Soviet Empire crumbled, the Soviet Air Force used for target practice, and they blew the thing up. What did they find in it but a whole bunch of crystals? And these crystals are different. They're crystals that are actually from Moon.
Really?
They have seven sides to them, not six. And what they are is their records. Now, some nut went up there from the United States a while back and bought a bunch of them from some of the tribal people up there who'd gotten them and came back and was selling them as Lemurian crystals for $250 a piece, and people buying them all over the place. So if you bought one of these crystals that has seven sides, you got your gold mine. What you do is you go through this sensitizing process. You take these seven-sided crystals and you just kind of run your fingers slowly down over them. Keep your eyes closed and just allow the images to come to you. And all these symbols come out. And then you can work on the symbols, journey on them, meditate on them, whatever you want to do. And this information will start coming to you because symbols, whether it's like a letter in the alphabet or one of your crop circles that you study and things of that nature, a symbol basically is an encyclopedia. Back around the time when Mu was around and Sargon and Sardigan and all those places, then they didn't have a lot of stuff, for instance, like printing presses and stuff. They didn't write down a whole bunch of stuff. They didn't need to. They could put it in something that would last far longer than any piece of paper or papyrus or whatever ever would. And they could put it away because they understood what the symbols meant. And so if you go and you work with these, then you'll recover that lost history.
Wow.
Now, the situation that we have today that you were talking about with the people keeping away the information and stuff from us, that actually began only about 6,000 years ago.
Yeah.
That was when patriarchy took over the world.
Yeah.
Now, we're taking it back.
Hopefully.
And nature is going to help us do it.
Hope, yeah.
You've heard, don't want to fool with Mother Nature. Well, Mother's pissed.
Good.
We keep dumping all this mess into her. We keep harming, the other creatures on the earth. We think we're so much better. We've got to go off and conquer and subdue the earth. There is a religion that teaches that. It's pretty scary. And it's one of the dominant religions in the world.
What religion is that?
Christianity.
Yeah, okay.
So it's it's just a it's an ugly thing.
But there again, I think that the reason we do it is because we're ignorant.
That's right.
And I think that is why it is so important right now for us all to get together and talk and get these shows out and write and do the websites and tell as many people as possible as to what the truth is.
And when you meet the people who are doing the stuff that's destroying the earth, try and remember something about them. They didn't invent this stuff. They were taught it, and their ancestors were taught it, and their folks were taught it before.
Yeah.
And, the people who started all this stuff aren't here anymore.
Yeah.
So virtually, even though the patriarchy crowd, like, say, G.W. Bush and John Ashcroft and others are going off and terrorizing the rest of the world, and that's all it is. It's just, we got the biggest guns and the biggest bombs and the biggest army, so we're going to be the biggest terrorists is basically what it is. But the thing is that they are as much victims as the people that they're victimizing with their beliefs.
Yeah.
Because they are a product of their education.
Yeah.
And that's it. And if it's bad education, well, then you pass on the bad stuff that you learned.
Yeah. The sins of the father.
Yeah. So, when you run into these people and they give you a hard time for what you believe in stuff, recognize where they're at. Pray for them and go.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. You know, a lot of people don't understand, you know, when, you know, like Christ, you know, says that when your enemy strikes you across the cheek, you know, turn your other cheek. They don't understand that by reacting to the negative with a negative, you increase the negative. And so you have to, even though you want to get angry, you can't. You can't allow yourself to because of the importance right now of building up as much positive in the world as possible, right? And you know, thank gosh, you know, that we got. I'm so glad that you came on today, you know, because you know, this is what the information you've given today. I mean, there's so little of that information out there for us to learn from. Because, like you said, it goes up and then it's taken down so quickly that most people have no idea of what you know. Most people feel that they're perfectly safe right now. You know, they have no idea about Yellowstone, Mount Shasta. You know what's happening in the Antarctica. You know the rising sea levels. Hey, you know. I remember here in Wisconsin, even when I was a kid. I mean, you know, winter is meant. I remember being able to just jumping off the rooftop, you know, onto snow, you know, that was maybe only a couple feet below the roof, you know, from. And now here in Wisconsin, I mean, we don't even hardly get any snow.
Yeah, and we had more snow down here than we've ever had before.
Yeah,
The
yeah.
Morgan Mountains are about a 15-minute drive from my house. We're actually on the southwest slope of them. And one of my apprentices were out walking in the desert yesterday talking, and we could look up the Oregon Mountains and see snow all over the place. And right now, it's about 75, 80 degrees out there. Yesterday morning, it was in the lower 40s here. You get up there, it's a whole lot colder.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had all this snow that, talking with the elders around here, they've never seen before.
Yeah.
A little bit here and there, but there have been, the whole chain of mountains has been covered with snow so many times this year, it's just unbelievable.
Now, a lot of people are looking at feeling that there should be safe until 2012. That's not true, is it? They should be preparing now, right?
Yeah, because you got to remember something about all prophecy. Prophecy is subject to change. And basically, if someone gives a prophecy about something, then you know, it can go either of two ways. Take John the Divine, for example. Everyone knows of him having written the Apocalypse, known as the Revelation in the Christian Bible.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty dark and ugly thing. Did you know that at the same time he wrote another one called the Apocryphon?
No.
And the Apocryphon talks about all of the beauty that can come to the world.
Really? He wrote that as well?
What?
He wrote that as well?
Yeah. See, one of the things that John the Divine understood is that you may have this one energy in the center that's the creator, but off to either side you have polarities. So like here in this country, this world, we have the North Pole and the South Pole. But they're still the same energy of the Earth. And yet they're on opposite ends. Yeah, love and hate are the same energy. Now, a lot of people say, oh, love and hate are opposites. No, indifference is the opposite of either love or hate.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the people see things in different ways sometimes, but that doesn't change reality. Reality is, John wrote two books. You ought to read both of them.
And where could someone find that book?
Oh.
Because I've never even heard of that one.
Oh, let's see. Oh, I don't know. I don't know exactly where to get it.
Probably just be able to put that in the search engine.
I don't know where to get it. There is, I'm trying to think of his name. There's a guy, he's, maybe you'll know who I'm talking about. He's doing a lot of spiritual teaching nowadays. Lives up, I think, around Santa Fe or Taos somewhere. He was an aerospace engineer, and he's Greg Braden. Greg Braden.
Okay.
In I believe it was a book of his called The Isaiah Effect, and then a tape series that he made after that, I believe they both talked about the Apocrypha also.
I imagine, too, people could be able to go into a search engine and maybe pull something up as well.
Well, one of the things that Braden has documented is that all of these ancient traditions and books and stuff, like the Dead Sea Scrolls and all this sort of thing, they weren't just there. They were all over the place. They'd come up here to the Four Corners, Mexico and Arizona and Colorado and Utah. And different tribes up there, especially the Hopi, were entrusted with copies of all of that. And right now, Brigham Young University has all of that stuff and is going through translating it. The Tibetan monks have it, and St. Catherine's Monastery just out of Cairo has it. All these different organizations all over the world have all this same material because they knew that people would try to destroy it.
Well, it only makes sense that it would have been at least given to four of the races, the four colors. At least that's what it seems to me, I hear that there's supposed to be some hidden books here in Mid-America as well, yet to be found.
Well, probably, let's see, I believe the place is Somerville, Ohio, something like that. There's a lady up there named Parisha Taylor. And Grandmother Parisha is the head of the Yunsei Medicine Society. And she has, her organization has some land, and there are some mounds on that land where they found some tablets that have these ancient symbols like we were talking about a while ago. And they know how to translate them. So she'd probably be a real good one for you to talk with about this.
Yeah, maybe I'll get a hold of her. There's, I just did an interview with this, this gentleman, I can't think, he has the website Missouri Mystery Mounds. I don't know if you've heard of that or not, but he thinks that maybe in that area there might be some hidden records as well. As a matter of fact, there's entrances going down into this huge tunnel system, and the entrance, the government turned around and decided to put a road right over top of it to cover up the entrance.
Yeah.
So when that happens, you figure something's up.
Yeah.
They've yet to find the second entrance, but I'm sure that there has to be more than one entrance to that tunnel system.
Yeah, the government probably just thinks they stole everything that was there.
I just had someone contact me the other day. They had a draconian sighting. Where was that? Not Tennessee. Darn it. Can't think of the state it was in. It wasn't Georgia. It was in Mid-America here someplace. I'll have to look it up. But anyhow, they went down into this tunnel system that the Navy was using for storage. They said they went 500 feet down, and they had their, those, what are they called, ATVs? And anyhow, they apparently these it was lit up, so the government was using it. Anyhow, they went down there with the ATVs, and they went back 5 miles. And they came across this wall, but they were going around a corner, and when they came up against this wall, they were going too fast and they couldn't stop. All right. And lo and behold, they went through the wall. Somehow it was maybe a hologram or something, because they thought it was sheer wall. But then since they couldn't stop, they went through. And when they got on the other side, they seen a bunch of draconians. One was red in color, and the other three were almost albino. And they started shooting at them, and they turned around, took off, and got back out of there, and contacted the authorities, and apparently had some visitors from the government, and told them that they could never go back there again. And one of the ATVs, the guy even sent the ID number on it. He says that they had left that down there, but they wasn't able to get back down in. But I don't know. So apparently something's going on down there. There's so many tunnels, you know, so many. And you know, Clifford, what I'm thinking is that there's a lot more races here on Earth besides just the human race. You know, and they just live in the tunnel systems down there, you know, and I think that a lot of them are just as civilized as we are, you know.
Well, actually, I always like to be referred to as a primitive or a savage, because if you look at what the civilized people do to the world, like
yeah.
Nuclear bombs and the stuff that we're doing in Afghanistan and Iraq and folks are doing it in other places in the world. You know, the Chinese are doing it their own people and all sorts of stuff. I really don't want to be civilized.
Yeah, I hear you there.
These other people are not civilized, because if they are, and they know so much more than we do, we're in trouble.
Yeah. But I wonder what these people in the worlds down below think about what we're doing. I mean, you know, do you think that they're concerned, or they're probably, I imagine, they're pretty safe down there, huh?
Well, unless someone's drilling and all of a sudden this drill, you know, comes out into open space and that open space happens to be the roof over your city or whatever, and then all of a sudden they start dumping, you know, toxic waste down into it. I don't know, I would be a little irritated personally.
Yeah. That's true. So, yeah, they should. There, I imagine then they have to be concerned as well, huh? A lot of people, you know, wait for aliens, ET, or whatever you want to call them, to come and rescue us. But I think the rescue will come by just teaching the world, the world population, the truth, don't you? So that they've got a choice of, you know, of how to deal with things. Where they start to come to an understanding that they can't be, using up Mother Earth, per se. I don't know.
Well, I had a wonderful teacher in Tahlequah, the lady who donated the land for us to build the medicine wheel for a number of years, and she was a doorkeeper for Galactic Fleet Command, and you know, I thought she and all of her friends were just a little bit crazy when I first met them. One of them was telling me a bunch of stuff one day, and when she was leaving, I just really was about fed up with it as I could get, and I spread my hand apart in a V, kind of like, you know, Spock would do, and said, "Nanu, Nanu, live long and prosper." And she said, "You're making fun of us." And I said, "Yes, I am." And she left. And I went to see Marie, and we were going to have a lesson on the stuff that she was teaching me, and she said, "You made fun of us today." I said, "Yeah, matter of fact." And she said, "I want you to know that I was doing this 50 years ago, when if people, if it got out publicly with people that I was doing this, that I'd have been locked up. And I might have been dissected just to see if I really had a human body or not." And, yeah, I talked about it 50 years ago. "Yeah, you would have been." And she said, "Well, I did talk about it. I was careful who I talked with it, you know, about." And so she said, "Well, since you don't believe it, I've asked some friends of mine to come here." And she said, "Turn around." And I turned around, and, you know, at my young age, at that point, I thought I was going to have heart failure. There were six of them standing there. And we talked. And one of the things that she did, and I've got them right here, it's kind of interesting, we're having this conversation. Her husband was a colonel commanding a wing of B-52s for the government. And in his running around the country, he took pictures of so-called UFOs, and I've got 52 slides of his here.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at them, you know there's no way in the world anybody could have faked this.
Yeah.
And So, you know, she showed me this stuff, and it's like, yeah, okay. I didn't believe this before, but either I'm stone-cold crazy right now, or I have to believe it.
Well, you said you turned around and seen six of them?
Yeah.
What did they look like?
Well, they didn't look like in the movies, let me tell you. Actually, they looked pretty gross, and it was pretty startling. You know, I figured we probably looked pretty gross to them, too. But we did have
Where were they from?
They were just, you know, someplace in the galaxy. They were part of a galactic fleet together. And I couldn't, you know, they told me some names of places, and if I had been able to write them down, I wouldn't have known how to write them because I couldn't pronounce the words.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were noises and sounds that had really no meaning to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as they talked about things, and, you know, they said, you know, we have to be here to keep an eye on you people so that you can't get out, and you can't spread your evil to the rest of the galaxy. And this little bit of insight kind of popped in. Excuse me. And I said, no, I think you're here because you want to monitor the mess that you made. And they got real quiet. And that was kind of the end of the confrontation. You know, they didn't like this angry human, and they left.
And how did they leave? Did they walk out the door, or just kind of like?
No, actually, they turned around. We were up on a second story in her house, in her bedroom, and she had this little sort of pantry and kitchen area off of that. They walked into that, and out through the wall, that was two stories off the ground, and they were gone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Marie would have these meetings on Tuesdays where you could go and. There's a lady up at Sparrowhawk Village that's still running those since she's gone now. And they have these fleet command meditations, they call them. And they receive messages from them every week.
Well, see, it doesn't make sense to me that they would allow us to blow up our own planet because the vibration alone, you know, of the destruction of Earth would be, you know, it'd be like a ripple effect, you know,
yeah.
through the galaxies.
Yeah.
And so it would affect each and every planet, everything out there, you know. So, I mean, they, you know, at that point of time, they would have to intercept somehow, some way.
Well, it stands, logically, you could say, yeah, it makes sense, but if we screw things up enough, then they might not be able to prevent it.
Yeah.
So we need to get to where we're doing things that are more Earth-friendly.
Yeah. And, of course, that's what we're trying to do. And like you said, 50 years ago, we couldn't be doing what we're doing today because people just would not have recognized it, you know. I was watching that show the other day, Old Brother. You know, with George Clooney,
yeah.
Brother, where art thou? I'm watching that and I'm thinking to myself, that hasn't been that long ago. And those people were so simple in their lifestyle. You know, I was watching, you know, like their rate, how everybody would sit back and listen to the radio, you know, and. You know, and like television was, you know, just some sort of a miracle, more or less. And it's just, and look at how fast we have moved forward in 50 years. I've talked to Betty Hill once said that, she says, think about it. 50 years ago when they looked down on planet Earth, it was a black, you know, it was, you know, during the dark time, you know, there was nothing there. It was just a black. A dark planet. And now when they look down on Earth, all they do is see all sparkles, you know, from the lights.
Yeah.
So, of course, naturally, it would have attracted, when we got electricity, you know, it would have naturally started attracting different people, you know, travelers down back onto our Earth. Another thing I thought was funny, well, not funny, but remember when we sent that time capsule up there, inviting, you know, then there was like supposed to be, I think they had Beatle music in it, and invitations from the people of Earth to whoever this is, you know, we welcome you, you know. And so, you know, so I look at that and I think, okay, so these people receive the message. Then they come down here to Earth and we shoot at them.
Yeah.
Or we capture them and do biopsies on them or hold them prisoners. You know, what was the purpose of sending the time capsule? You know, try figuring it, huh?
Well, I really don't see that it's a hard one to figure if you consider the... what patriarchy has done to the world.
Yeah.
It's basically forced everyone to be an individual, and people who are forced to be an individual and are forced to stand alone are people who are forced to be afraid.
Yeah. Well, I thought about that with President Bush the other day, too, on fear. You know, he's the, with this... presidency, we've always been able to see our vice president. We've always seen our first lady. But since 9/11, we have never, very seldom do you ever see Cheney, our vice president, very seldom. And you never see Laura Bush anymore, our first lady. And it's like, this president is like, what? Is he, I mean, is he that much in fear? That he has to have everybody hiding in underground caves or, you know, that's what I thought about, you know, is, I mean, this man is operating in total fear.
Yeah, and it went back before 9/11, you know, I sent you that that article talking about the PNAC document with you know, that people basically go to, you know, internationalclearinghouse.com.
Uh-huh.
Or internationalclearinghouse.info, I believe it is. And they, you know, and they have the document there that Bush and his cabinet signed before they, you know, most of the people in his cabinet now signed before they actually took office and had already planned all of this stuff, including Afghanistan and Iraq. They were going to go after him even if they didn't have some kind of a reason to do it.
Oh, sure.
You know, to build essentially an American empire, to force world dominance. And the only reasons for people to do that, you know, number one is to have more power than they did anyway. And number two, they build that kind of power because they are afraid.
Yeah. And I'm thinking now that that is our president. I think he's just that fearful. I mean, because, you know, I mean it points to it. I mean, my gosh, you never see the first lady. When was the last time you seen Laura Bush? You know, when was the last time you seen our vice president? You know, it's just like everything is set up just in case something happens to me, you know.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do, or just in case something happens to, you know. But, I mean, the other presidents never thought like that, you know.
Yeah.
But this guy, he's just total doom and gloom, you know, just total fear of what's going to happen to him now and to the, you know, to the United States. And I kind of wonder if that's I don't know where it comes from. I'm sure it comes from his dad, you know, something that...
Well, a lot of that, and also he's been raised in a spiritual tradition that operates on two things. I mean, it's like, you know what a destructive mind control cult is?
Pardon?
A destructive mind control cult.
No.
Someone who brainwashes other people and uses them.
Yeah.
Is any organization that operates in controlling its people through guilt and fear.
Yeah.
And he was raised in a fundamentalist deal where they're into guilt and fear.
Yeah.
And so to think that he's going to be anything, you know, other than someone who feels guilty and feels afraid is just ludicrous.
Yeah.
That's what he's been raised to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about that, too. I could just about imagine what his childhood was like.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary. You know,
Yeah.
So, you know, but unfortunately, the world suffers for it.
Yeah. You know, he's a very powerful man because of where he's at.
Yeah.
And he does have some guilt in that, you know, he never served his country, militarily or otherwise, before he got in politics. And now he can go off and he can't fight the war, but by golly, he can wage the war. He can send him out there to do it. And then there is the fear, you know, what are these crazy people going to do to us? Well, you know, they're crazy people anywhere you go.
Yeah. And I was studying the IQs of the presidents. I don't know if you've ever done that or not, but his dad was like, I think he was 97. And then you take Clinton. Clinton was, I think, 160 something. And then this Bush is 92. So you take 160 down to 92.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty easy to tell in the way he talks and stuff, but, you know.
Well, you know, that it's easy to manipulate somebody like that, and if he's got the right people around him, you know, it wouldn't be that difficult to, you know, to manipulate.
Well, he does have the right people around him. It's called the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think that, well, what do you think about the election coming up? Do you think we'll ever see another honest election?
Considering some of the stuff that they're trying to come up with, where you basically do it on a computer and you have nothing that's a hard copy.
Yeah.
That's going to pretty much guarantee that honest elections are gone. The government will have win who they want to have win. And, you know, if they don't have it go quite the way they want it to go initially, well, that's okay. His brother's still down there in Florida and can steal another election for him.
Yeah. It seems like our government anymore is against the people. That there's a war going on that the American public has no knowledge about. And that war actually is our government against us.
Yeah, and all they have to do is keep doing stuff that keeps people concentrating their focus and attention outside of this country.
Yeah.
They can continue to whittle away at the freedoms that we have.
Yeah.
Where, well, if you want to have a real fun time, get you a copy of the Bill of Rights and a copy of the 10 Planks of the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah.
And make a comparison and see what's really ruling this country now.
Somebody brought up an interesting analysis where they said that the people, I think it was Dennis Blatthauser of down in Roswell, he said that the people, our generations, they know about what is happening to us, you know. But the kids that are brought up today that never had the rights, see, they're ignorant of what they're losing because they never really seen it in action.
Yeah.
And maybe this is what this government is you know, relying on, is the young generation that never seen how good life was, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever, or 40, 50 years ago even.
Right.
You know.
The children that were coming up at this time basically had no hope around the turn of the century. I mean, you know, the Christian church basically is the dominant religion in this country. And there were so many people that got on this craze about how Jesus is coming back in the year 2000.
Yeah.
You know, that by the time the year 2000 gets here, you know, he will have been here and we'll all be gone. So you don't have a future, so quit planning for it.
Yeah.
And this is really disheartening to a lot of kids that they had no hope for a future other than being a kid.
Yeah.
And then it came and passed, and so it makes them real cynical, and they just don't want to believe what anybody has to say about either the past or the future.
Yeah.
You can't blame them.
Yeah, well, the kids are more or less, you know, they've cut themselves off from society a lot, which is maybe a good thing, because now they're learning on their own. And maybe they should be cynical. I know I'm becoming cynical. You know, I think that it's best to learn on my own, get as much information as possible, and then judge according to all the facts instead of just from what's being filtered to me. But anyhow, anything else that you need to talk about before we call it the end of the show?
Well, there's an interesting process going on in the spirit realm right now that that might be interesting to cover. There's you sent me an interesting little article written by a gentleman named John.
Yeah.
And you know, he had some real good points in there. We're talking about whether we can travel in other dimensions or be removed from the interview of the Creator and what would happen and that sort of thing. Well, there are some changes taking place that actually took place spiritually on the 8th of November. And it's forcing essentially a new paradigm on all of creation. And that new paradigm is that we, you know, it's kind of like what we were talking about, how we all need to talk, we all need to get together and work together and learn to communicate. Well, any time that we have had secret information in the past,
mm-hmm.
We can no longer hold it as secret. It has to be shared. It has to be public. There was a time when a lot of esoteric information, for instance, was kept strictly away from anyone other than the initiates and leaders of these various mystery cults and religions and stuff. And now all that has to be made public. Well, that applies not only to us, but it also applies to the Creator of this universe. And one of the things that was held secret, if you will, large, is that there was the belief in a place that you could go that was actually totally removed from the energy of the Creator. In Christianity and Zoroastrianism and stuff, they call it hell.
Uh-huh.
In our view of things, we saw that there was a place known as the void. And we see the spirit realm basically as being a circular thing, like we talked about before, where you go high enough in the middle realm, you wind up in the upper realm, you go far enough in the upper realm, you wind up in the lower realm, and so forth, just around in a circle. And in this sort of gray area between the upper realm and the lower realm is this place known as the void. And there are spirits that would desire nothing more than to be totally removed from the energy of the Creator. They serve darkness so much. They served evil to the point that all they wanted to do was be away from the Creator. And so essentially the Creator invented this illusion within itself, because to be removed from the energy of the Creator ceased to exist. And so within this place where it seemed that there was none of the energy of the Creator, then these entities, these beings, would be sent and or sometimes even forced to go if they said they wanted to. And then they'd get there and they'd find out basically the only way that they could survive was to feed on each other. It's a really ugly place. And my grandmother took me there when I was quite young, and I was learning my way around the spirit realm and stuff. She said, so you decide what it is that you want to have go with you to this place, and then we're going to go. And so I was like, well, I got that one figured out, you know. Oh, I want the Creator. You know, I want the family.
Yeah, good idea.
And so we go in, and it's like everything under the sun is attacking me, and my grandmother pulls me out real quick. And she said, if it's supposed to be a place that's devoid of the energy of the Creator, how can you take your Nekla there?
Take your what?
The great being, the Creator.
Okay.
In the Cherokee tradition. And so it's like, yeah, well, good point. You went real bright. So now, because of this new paradigm and things that have been held secret can't be anymore, then the spirits that are in the void are being made aware of the fact that they've never truly been removed from the realm of the Creator. And this is one of the things where we know that we're going to know by the end of next year whether we're going to move into this age of enlightenment, you know, just massive enlightenment, or this age of real darkness, because the void is going to dump, and the void is actually located in the solar system. And when these spirits come out, then there are a lot of our elders who have been choosing to go home, basically, you know, death walking themselves and leaving their physical body, and they're working at the void to prepare this massive shield of just pure unconditional love, so that when they come out, they're going to be faced with everything that they've turned against, and they're also going to be faced with an opportunity to choose a higher evolutionary path again.
Oh, good.
And the ones that take it, great. The ones that don't, well, this is the ultimate free will planet in the solar system, so guess where they're coming?
Here.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to actually see these entities? Or no?
Short of a miracle, yeah. If you can't see them, you'll surely be able to feel them. One of the things that's happening in the world as a whole, as the energy changes, is we're getting to where, you know, like you and I have had on our email and stuff, that people are becoming more telepathic. They're seeing more things in the spirit realm. They're intuiting things more. And there are a lot of people who communicate better silently now than they do talking. And so as this stuff comes here, then yeah, there are a lot of people who are able to see in the spirit realm, and a lot of people who will be more able to by then. And they'll be able to see a lot of these things. And even if they can't see them, they'll be able to feel them. They'll be able to hear them.
Which is going to be quite frightening to some that are not aware of them.
Yeah, especially the ones that are stuck in some religious belief that says nothing like this exists. So it's going to be a very interesting time.
And exciting.
If we make enough of a conscious choice towards evolution and enlightenment, then we'll do okay. And if not, things are going to get dark and ugly.
And again, how do we prepare people?
You know about physical preparation, like, you know, have some food on hand, have some water and stuff like that, things to live with, some medical supplies and stuff. That's the obvious common sense stuff. But then working on some higher esoteric tradition that will teach you to understand the spirit realm. You know, that's the thing. That, as much as I would like to say, oh, we have this, the Institute of Shamanic Studies, and we can teach you all this sort of stuff, we're really not prepared to do that. We'd like to do that. We just haven't had the opportunity, and we don't have the way. But then you've got people like the Esoteric Theological Seminary crowd who have stuff that makes people aware. Then there are folks like you that are getting the information out there of bringing people together and connecting them. That if people will simply get in something of a spiritual nature versus a religious nature, spirituality is something that makes you free, whereas religion is something that has politics in it, which is about controlling people.
Yeah.
So you find something out there that is a spirituality that you can work with, that empowers you, makes you free, and helps you understand the spirit world. And if you do that, then you're going to be so much better off when the time comes.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's indigenous people all over the world that have come together, spiritual ceremonies.
Right.
But also there's a lot of Caucasians, Europeans, that are doing or trying to do the same thing. Unfortunately, they don't have the information that maybe they should, but I think that there's a lot of, the Caucasian groups that are really trying the best they can.
Well, you know about the Medicine Wheel ceremony that's going to be on the 8th of May.
You might want to tell our listeners about it.
Well, there is a giant medicine wheel that's basically been set up in this country that covers about a 600 mile diameter area. And there are people from other cultures, other countries and stuff all over the world that are joining in on this. And it's going to basically come to its highest point of energy at what would be 12 noon mountain time here in this country. So we're encouraging people virtually anywhere in the world, go to any sacred sites in your area. It doesn't matter if it's a medicine wheel, the Isle of the Druids in Scotland, or Stonehenge, or something like that. Just go to any sacred sites in your area, and spend time meditating and praying and working to transmute the negative energies that we have placed in the earth.
Okay. I'll use the radio station to get more people focused on that event. And hopefully we can get quite a lot of people to find some place in their area to go to. I'll make sure that my family finds some place to go and spend time there that day.
Well, thank you for that.
No, it's important. It's so important. We've got such an interesting time coming. It's a time of miracles, but also of great challenge.
Yeah, and another thing that would actually help people as far as preparing for this stuff is that essentially there are two kinds of people who are in the world right now. And there are people who are masters for the Divine Hierarchy, the White Lodge, whatever you want to call it, or there are masters for the Dark Lodge. And if you're working on doing good things in the world and stuff, then the single best thing that you can do is simply remember who you are.
Yeah.
Remember the spiritual traditions you've been a part in other lives. Remember the things that you've learned and that you've done and that the power that you have. One of the things that people can do to really work now from a spiritual standpoint to bring about the better way of things that we're hoping for is to use the law of attraction, which basically the law of attraction and the law of karma, it's the same thing. Physics has identified the fact that any energy that you put out will attract a like energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk with people all the time about blessing and cursing. It's like if you're going down the highway and somebody cuts you off and you scream and holler and cuss at them, you just cursed them.
Yeah, true.
And if someone's maybe having a problem and they need to get into traffic, or maybe they swerve because they spilled some hot coffee in their lap or something, and instead of getting all freaked out on them, you just kind of let them do what they need to do and get on and kind of bless them on their way, you bless them.
Yeah.
The thing that really makes it work is, like, if you think about someone, like, say, when I was waiting for your call, I was thinking about your call, so you and I were already connected.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we think about someone with emotion, though, then our body becomes just this massive generator of energy that's just really sending stuff to them. So if they think, man, I'd really like to talk to so-and-so, and bam, they call.
Yeah.
It happens all the time, and that's what's going on. So what we can do is we can visualize, think about, concentrate on, write out, and read, whatever you want to do, what it is that you want to see in the world. And then you put all the emotion into it that you can, all the passion into it that you can, and think about this and send it out. And don't just think about it in words. I mean, visualize it, because, that's what the subconscious works in, and that's how telepathy works and stuff. That's how the spirit realm operates. If someone is in the spirit realm and they think ugly things, they look real ugly. And if they think nice things, they look wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're thinking about, what you're seeing, is what is pictured in the spirit realm. And if you do that with emotion, you do it with passion, then this is the world that we'll bring to us.
Hmm.
When our elders go in, they work to bring about the seventh generation and create things for the seventh generation. That's what they're doing. They're taking all of their passion for life and all that they hope for in the future, and they're putting it out there.
Well, the elders are doing a wonderful job. And I just want to be one, along with many other, to let the elders know that we do appreciate them and the work that they are doing.
Bless
and
yourself.
Thank you. And bless you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. I thank you so much for coming on. I'd like to have you back again soon, and maybe some of our work can I help some more people. It's there for you if you want to use it. I try to send you a bunch of email too, and I sure appreciate how you always answer, our questions. Let's just see, our ancient mystery group is they're a pretty intelligent and searching group. I have a lot of respect for them.
Yeah, I've appreciated the emails that you sent. They're really sharp people.
Yeah, they are.
And, if you have anything that you want to talk about specifically or something, just let me know and we'll set up a time and date.
Okay, sounds good. And we're talking to Dr. Clifford Alford, and you can find him on, well, you can listen, of course, naturally on burlingtonnews.net, and there is his link to his website right there. But it's, let me see, I don't have it in front of me right now. It's NASS Inc., right? NASSINC.org, right? Yeah, okay. I didn't have my screen up, so I had to guess on that one. But again, thank you so much for all of your work, for sharing your information with us, and your efforts out there to bring all the people, Native American, Caucasian, all together as one for the purpose of the all. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.